各位听众，接下来请听这个小时的简要新闻。美国总统特朗普看来即将宣布再对价值2000亿美元的中国商品加征10%的关税。在此之际，华尔街日报星期天援引中国官员的一位话报道说，如果美国加征新一轮的关税，中国可能会拒绝定于9月晚些时候举行的美中贸易谈判。美国财政部长姆努钦早些时候向中国发出了谈判邀请。熟悉美中贸易争端的人士说，特朗普总统星期四指示美国政府官员准备实施2000亿美元的中国产品加征关税的计划。华尔街日报援引一名中国高级官员的话报道说，中国不会在被枪指着头的时候谈判。中国官方的《环球时报》星期天发表时评说，中国不会在美国的贸易战连连进攻中一味的防守。日本证实，日本的潜水艇和美国海军一个航空母舰战斗群进行了联合演习之后，上个星期第一次在有主权争议的南中国海进行了演习。英国一艘军舰这个月在南中国海进行了一次自由航行使命。中国对几乎整个南中国海宣称拥有主权，但是亚洲还有其他的主权声索方。国际仲裁庭2年前的裁决不承认中国的主权声索。据报道，中国在南中国海一些岛屿部署了干扰设施、反舰巡航导弹、地对空导弹，并进行了轰炸机起降。分析人士认为，日本自卫队的演习显示日本坚持自由与开放的印度洋太平洋战略。在美国和中国贸易战争端看来仍然无解之际，美国和中国军方联合举办的2018亚太军事医学年会在中国西安拉开序幕。一位中国高级军方将领到场，中国中央军委后勤部部长宋普选上将事先没有宣布，但是出现在亚太军事医学年会的开幕式上，并与包括美国国防部代理助理部长许劳在内的各国代表团合影。宋普选上将据说与中国国家主席习近平关系密切，2014年担任解放军北京军区司令，2016年担任新成立的北部战区司令员，2017年担任中央军委后勤部保障部部长。据称，最高法院大法官提名人卡瓦诺有不当性行为的女性克里斯蒂娜·布拉西福特公开了她的身份。加利福尼亚州的帕罗奥图大学教授福特对《华盛顿邮报》说，他在受到性侵犯的时候感到生命威胁。福特教授在《华盛顿邮报》星期天发表的采访报道中说，我以为他会失手杀死我。福特说，性侵事件发生在1980年代的一个聚会上，当时他和卡瓦诺都在上高中。他说，当时卡瓦诺和一个朋友把他逼到了一间卧室，卡瓦诺把他推倒在床上，试图脱下他的衣服。福特说，两个男孩都已经喝醉，走路不稳。巴勒斯坦解放组织驻美国代表佐姆洛说，美国取消了他家人的签证。分析人士说，这是特朗普行政当局和巴勒斯坦解放组织关系恶化的又一进展。佐姆洛说，美国国务院向他发出通知，巴勒斯坦解放组织代表处下个月关闭时，他家人的签证同时到期，尽管签证上的有效期限直到2020年。他说，他的包括两名年幼孩子在内的家人已经离开美国。
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Moore. Welcome to Functioning in Business.
各位听众好，我是杨晨。 欢迎收听商务通英语。
Functioning in Business is an intermediate level business English course with a focus on American business practices and culture.
商务通英语是中等程度的商务英语课程。课程题材以美国的商业实践和文化为主，通过电台播音室里的采访和绘画讲授美国英语。今天我们复习本星期的课程。第一课我们学习向人做许诺时的各种用语。首先是电话访谈。我们通过电话采访国际机器人公司的 Blake 先生。
Today we'll be talking by phone with Charles Blake of International Robotics. Hello, Charles.
Hello, Elizabeth.
Today we'll listen to more of your lunchtime discussions with Ms. Graham. In this discussion, Ms. Graham clarified her position about the storage of spare parts.
That's right. I thought she had rejected my proposal, but I was wrong. In fact, she was willing to consider it, but she needed more information.
Let's listen to more of the conversation.In this part of the conversation, you promise to get her the additional information.
Now, you've rejected the proposal that we use your warehouse for storage space for spare parts.
Well, not entirely, Mr. Blake. Let me clarify that a little. Space is limited, and it would depend very much on the quantity of parts, the size, etc. I would need a lot more detail on that.
I can certainly understand your concerns.I'm going to put this information in a report after I fax Beijing.
Okay.
And I'll have the report ready for you tomorrow, and maybe we can come up with a solution to the problem.
Okay. Well, that sounds fine.
I'm going to put this information in a report.I'm going to put this information in a report after I fax Beijing. I'll have the report ready for you tomorrow. And maybe we can come up with a solution to the problem.
下面我们继续采访 Blake 先生。
You promised to prepare a report for Ms. Graham.
Yes. First, I needed to fax my office in Beijing for the information she needed.
Regarding the quantity of spare parts, the size, and so on.
That's right. After I got the details, I needed to put them into a report.
How did you feel about the discussion so far?
Well, I knew we had to satisfy her concerns about the storage of spare parts. I hoped that we could provide good answers to her questions.
We'll listen to more of this conversation in another program. Thank you for being my guest today.
You're very welcome.
文化点滴。
Welcome once again to Culture Tips with Gary Angleton.
Hello, everyone.
Today's email question is, do Americans make a lot of promises in business?
Yes, they do.And Americans really respect people who keep their promises.
Because you can trust them.
Yes, trust is very important in business relationships. If business people want to make an oral agreement, they may shake hands.
Why do they shake hands?
It shows that both people are really serious. Good managers only make promises that they can keep. If they're not sure, they may say something like, I'll see what I can do.Or, I'll do what I can. This means that they will try, but it's not a promise that they will be successful.
That's a good strategy.
Managers may also make spoken promises to each other as part of business discussions. But for important agreements between companies, spoken promises are usually not enough. In the final stages, agreements must be written down in a contract.And checked by lawyers.
Why is that?
It's to avoid misunderstandings and legal problems in the future. If there's a problem, everyone can read the contract.
Gary, thanks again for your great information.
商务对话。
Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
The condition of our furniture is disgraceful.
I know it's bad.
My desk is at least 25 years old. It looks terrible.
I've already talked to the office manager about the furniture 3 times this year. Each time she promises to replace everything, but nothing happens.
Uh-huh.
She says the accounting department won't give her the money.
Can't you talk to George about it? As vice president, he should be able to do something.
I'll try, but he's so busy all the time. He always says, talk to the office manager.
Ira, it's embarrassing when we have important visitors.
All right. I promise that I'll talk to George about it.
Great.
I can't promise that it will do any good, but I'll see what I can do.
Thank you very much, and good luck. We need new desks.
Gary 提示。
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Angleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today I'll be talking about promises. Promises are very important in business. And it's very important to keep your promises if you want to build good relationships. In today's business dialogue, June is unhappy about the condition of her furniture. The office manager has promised to replace the furniture, but nothing has happened.
I've already talked to the office manager about the furniture 3 times this year. Each time she promises to replace everything, but nothing happens.
Uh-huh.
She says the accounting department won't give her the money.
She asks Ira to talk to George, the vice president. At first, Ira uses the expression, I'll try. This is a promise to try, but nothing more. It only means that he'll try to talk to George about the furniture.
Can't you talk to George about it? As vice president, he should be able to do something.
I'll try, but he's so busy all the time. He always says, talk to the office manager.
June wants a more definite answer, and finally, Ira promises to speak to George. Notice that he uses the expression, I promise.
Ira, it's embarrassing when we have important visitors.
All right. I promise that I'll talk to George about it.
Great.
Ira promises to talk to George, but he does not promise that June will get new furniture. Let's listen.
I can't promise that it will do any good, but I'll see what I can do.
Thank you very much, and good luck.
He says that he can't promise that it will do any good, but he says he will try. He uses the expression, I'll see what I can do. In business discussions, it is important to understand the difference between a promise to do something and a promise to try to do something. In Mr. Blake's conversation with Ms. Graham, he promises to have the report ready for her tomorrow.
I'm going to put this information in a report after I fax Beijing.
Okay.
And I'll have the report ready for you tomorrow.
Mr. Blake uses the expressions, I'm going to, and I will, to make his promises. Before you make a promise in business, be sure that you can keep it. If you do this, you will build successful relationships. Hope today's tips were helpful. Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips.
下面我们复习第二课。这一课的重点是在讲话时如何限定修饰自己所说的内容，以及对自己和对方说的话加以总结。首先是电话访谈，先锋技术公司副总裁 Graham 女士在电话里和我们谈她和 Blake 先生的会面情况。
Today we'll be talking with Ms. Shirley Graham, Vice President of Advanced Technologies. Hello, Ms. Graham.
Hello, Elizabeth.
We've been listening to your lunchtime discussions with Mr. Blake. That meeting took place on Wednesday, June 12th of last year.
Yes, that's right. We needed industrial robots for our new factory. And Mr. Blake's company had an excellent product. Their robots were state of the art. Unfortunately, his company did not have local support centers to provide after-sales service.
At that meeting, Mr. Blake offered to prepare a detailed report on the problem of spare parts.
Yes, he did. He was very responsive to my concerns.
Let's hear what happened after that.
I'm going to put this information in a report after I fax Beijing.
Okay.
And I'll have the report ready for you tomorrow. And maybe we can come up with a solution to the problem.
Okay. Well, that sounds fine. Even then, Mr. Blake, I can't make any guarantees. You know, we've never done business with a Chinese company before, so it's quite an undertaking.
Oh, I can certainly understand.
So I hope you will understand.
Sure.
Okay. I'll have the report ready for you tomorrow.
The report will be ready for you tomorrow.
I can't make any guarantees.
I can't promise anything.
It's quite an undertaking.
It's a very big step for us.
下面我们结束对 Graham 女士的访谈。
So how did you feel about this discussion?
I was very impressed by Mr. Blake's presentation, but I still wasn't convinced that his company was the right company for us. I couldn't make any guarantees.
I understand. Thank you again for joining us.
It's been my pleasure.
Welcome once again to Culture Tips with Gary Angleton.
Hello, everyone.
Today's question is, when I'm making a proposal to Americans, they always interrupt me with questions. That seems very rude to me. Why won't they let me finish what I want to say?
Well, I can certainly understand your irritation, but the Americans aren't trying to be rude. They are trying to be effective and polite.
Effective and polite?
Yes. Americans ask questions for two reasons.
What are they?
First, to see whether or not they have understood what was said.
Do you mean that they are confirming understanding?
Yes, exactly. You can't respond to a proposal if you don't understand it.
That's certainly true.
Second, asking questions shows that you are interested, which is the polite thing to do.
So silence would be impolite.
Yes, sometimes it would.Culturally speaking, Americans in business situations expect questions. It is also a good way to keep both people talking. Americans like two-way communication.
Thanks, Gary. Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
To summarize...There are still problems with the delivery date and the size of the discount. But everything else is okay. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. The price is higher than we expected, and we need delivery within 6 months at the latest.
I see. Well, I'll see what I can do. The delivery date is going to be a problem, but I'll check and see if it's possible. Can we get together again? How about later this week?
Okay, but I'm afraid I won't be free except for tomorrow afternoon.Is that too early?
No, that'll be fine. How about 3 o'clock?
Okay, good. I'll see you tomorrow, Mr. Davis.
See you then.
Gary 提示
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Angleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today I'll be talking about how to summarize your position at the end of a meeting.In today's business dialogue, Mr. Davis summarizes his understanding. He uses the expression, to summarize.
To summarize, there are still problems with the delivery date and the size of the discount. But everything else is okay. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
He confirms his understanding by asking Mr. Jones, is that right? Mr. Jones confirms...Yes, that's right. Then Mr. Jones summarizes his position in more detail.
The price is higher than we expected, and we need delivery within 6 months at the latest.
I see.
Mr. Jones cannot promise that he will be able to meet the delivery schedule. He offers to do his best.
Well, I'll see what I can do. The delivery date is going to be a problem, but I'll check and see if it's possible.
He qualifies his answer because he isn't sure if he can deliver the products on time. They agree to meet again to try to solve these problems. In a similar way, Ms. Graham qualifies her response to Mr. Blake. She cannot promise that they will be able to come to an agreement.
Even then, Mr. Blake, I can't make any guarantees. You know, we've never done business with a Chinese company before, so it's quite an undertaking.
In summarizing your position in a business discussion, it is best to be honest about any problems. Most importantly, you shouldn't make promises that you can't keep. Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips.
本星期第三课重点学习了表示感谢的词句。首先是电话访谈，我们采访先锋技术公司的 Mike Epstein 先生。
Today we'll be talking with Mike Epstein of Advanced Technologies. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Elizabeth.
Today we're going to listen to the end of your lunch meeting with Charles Blake.
Yes, Charles had presented his information to Shirley, and now she had to make her decision.
Okay, let's listen to the conversation.
Could we have the check, please?
Certainly, I'll bring it right over.
Well, thank you for the delicious meal.
You're very welcome. You've put a lot of time and effort into this proposal. We really appreciate it.
It was a pleasure. I hope that we'll be able to do business together.
Mike and I will discuss your proposal in detail this afternoon. And we look forward to seeing you tomorrow. How about 1 o'clock in my office?
That sounds fine. I'll fax my report to you in the morning.
Good.
And if there's any further information that you need,
we'll give you a call at your hotel.
Can we take you back to your hotel?
No, thanks. I think I'll go for a walk before I go back to the hotel.
Well, see you tomorrow.
I'm looking forward to it.
Have a nice walk.
Thanks.
听说练习，请大家跟着我们说。
Well, thank you for the delicious meal.
You're very welcome.
We really appreciate it.
It was a pleasure.
Can we take you back to your hotel?
No, thanks. I think I'll go for a walk.
Well, do you think it was a successful meeting?
Well, I thought Charles presented a very strong case. I knew that his company made the best robots, and I was convinced that we should buy his robots.
So you weren't concerned about after-sales service?
No, I wasn't. I felt that the robots were extremely reliable and that after-sales service wouldn't be a problem.
It wasn't your decision, though.
No, it wasn't. It was Shirley's project, and it was her decision. My job was to give her the best advice.
Well, thank you again for being on our show.
It's been my pleasure.
Welcome to Culture Tips with Gary Engleton.
Hello, everyone.
Today's question is, when I eat at a restaurant in the United States, do I have to leave a tip?
Well, first you must understand that waiters and waitresses get most of their money from tipping.
Really?
Yes, the restaurant may only pay them a small hourly wage. So most servers expect a tip of at least 15% of the cost of the meal.
What if the service is bad? Should I leave a tip?
Of course, if the service is really terrible, you may want to give less than 15% and then never go to that restaurant again.
What if I leave a small tip or don't tip at all?
Well, the restaurant host may come to you and ask if there was a problem with the service. This can be very embarrassing. Unfortunately, many travelers to the U.S. do not understand American tipping customs.
Why is that?
In Europe, the tip is included in the bill, and in Asia, there is almost no tipping. So American restaurants are trying to make tipping easier for international visitors.
How are they doing that?
Some restaurants write information about tipping in several foreign languages. And if you pay with a credit card, the credit card form usually has a line that says tip. They may even calculate the tip for you at different rates, for example, 15% and 20%.
In the U.S., is the tip ever included in the bill?
Sometimes. Some restaurants include a 15% service charge for large groups.
Well, thanks again, Gary, for your helpful information. Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
And so, we'll deliver 20 cases of champagne next Thursday.
That sounds good. And thank you for responding so quickly.
It's my pleasure. We really appreciate your business.
Here, let me get the check.
No, you're my guest.
Can I at least leave the tip?
Okay, if you insist.
I do. And next time, I'd like to treat you.
All right. When I see you next Thursday, you can buy me lunch.
Mark, thanks again for the meal.
You're very welcome, June.
Gary 提示。
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Engleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today I'll be talking about how to show appreciation. The easiest and most common way to express appreciation is to say thank you. What do you think is the most common way to respond to thank you? Let's listen to Mr. Blake and Ms. Graham.
Well, thank you for the delicious meal.
You're very welcome.
That's right. You're welcome, or you're very welcome, is the most common response. Another way to show appreciation is to say, I appreciate something you've done. For example, in today's business dialogue, June thanks Mark for his quick response. And Mark says that he appreciates June's business. Let's listen.
And so, we'll deliver 20 cases of champagne next Thursday.
That sounds good. And thank you for responding so quickly.
It's my pleasure. We really appreciate your business.
When June thanks Mark, he says, "It's my pleasure." And then he thanks her for her business. When someone thanks you for something, you can often respond by thanking them. You can also use thank you to respond to an offer. If someone asks if you would like something, you can say, yes, thank you.
What if you want to refuse an offer?
Then you say, no, thank you, or no thanks. Let's listen.
Can we take you back to your hotel?
No, thanks.
You can create good business relationships by remembering to say thank you. As they say, a little appreciation goes a long way. And so, thank you for joining us today for Gary's Tips.
Thanks, Gary. I really enjoyed today's show. Well, our time is up. Tune in again next time for Functioning in Business. See you then.
今天的商务通英语就复习到这里。谢谢各位收听。我们下次再见。
For further study, a Functioning in Business study kit is available from your local bookstore.
为了帮助学习，商务通英语备有课本和录音带，整套辅导学习材料，听众可以去本地的书店购买。
各位听众，接下来请听这个小时的简要新闻。美国总统特朗普看来即将宣布 实施在对总值2000亿美元的中国商品加征 10% 的关税。在此之际，《华尔街日报》星期天援引中国官员的话报道说，如果美国加征新一轮的关税，中国可能会拒绝定于9月晚些时候举行的美中贸易谈判。美国财政部长姆努钦早些时候向中国发出了谈判的邀请。熟悉美中贸易争端的消息人士说，特朗普总统星期四指示美国政府官员准备实施对2000亿美元中国产品加征关税的计划。华尔街日报援引一名中国高级官员的话报道说，中国不会在被枪指着头的时候谈判。中国官方的《环球时报》星期天发表时评说，中国不会在美国的贸易战连连进攻中一味防守。一些中国官员表示，中国准备采取的反制措施可以包括限制向美国公司销售他们所需要的关键材料、设备和零部件，利用出口限制来威胁这些美国公司的供应链。《华尔街日报》报道说，这样的措施会威胁到在中国组装的 iPhone 的苹果公司。据报道，美国对这次对2000亿美元的中国产品将征收 10% 的关税，而不是先前广泛报道的 25%。 不过特朗普总统还威胁要再对2670亿美元的中国产品征税，而且将迅速实施。这意味着美国几乎对所有中国向美国出口的产品加征关税。日本证实它的潜水艇和美国海军一个航空母舰战斗群进行联合演习之后，上个星期第一次在主权有争议的南中国海进行了演习。英国一艘军舰上个月在南中海进行了一次自由航行使命。中国对几乎整个南中国海宣称拥有主权，但是亚洲还有其他主权声索方。国际仲裁庭两年前的裁决不承认中国的主权声索。据报道，中国在南中国海一些岛屿部署了干扰设施、反舰巡航导弹、地对空导弹，并进行了轰炸机起降。分歧人士认为，日本自卫队的演习显示日本坚持自由与开放的印度洋太平洋战略。日本苍龙级潜艇对越南具有战略意义的金兰湾进行了5天的港口访问。分歧人士认为，南中海周边地区的国家准备遏制中国越来越强势的姿态。在美中贸易争端看来仍然无解之际，美国和中国军方联合举办的2018亚太军事医学年会在中国西安开幕，一位中国军方高级将领到场。中国中央军委后勤保障部部长宋普选上将，事先没有宣布，但也出现在亚太军事医学年会的开幕式上，并与包括美国国防部代理助理部长老许在内的各国代表合影。宋普选据说与中国国家主席习近平关系密切，2014年担任解放军北京军区司令，2016年担任新成立的北部战区司令员，2017年担任中央军委后勤保障部部长。指称最高法院大法官提名人卡瓦诺有不当性行为的女性克里斯蒂娜·布拉西福特公开了她的身份。加利福尼亚州的帕罗奥图大学教授福特对《华盛顿邮报》说，他在受到性侵犯时感到生命威胁。卡瓦诺否认有任何违法行为，他在星期天发表声明说，我坚决明确地否认这一指称，我在上高中或任何时间都没有这样做。巴勒斯坦解放组织驻美国代表佐姆洛说，美国取消了他家人的签证。分析人士说，这是特朗普行政当局和巴勒斯坦解放组织关系恶化的又一进展。佐姆洛说，美国国务院向他发出了通知，巴解组织代表处下个月关闭时，他家人的签证同时到期，尽管签证上的有效期限直至2020年。各位听众，您刚才收听的是美国之音的国际新闻，谢谢各位收听。
以下为您重播美国之音 VOA 卫视时事大家谈节目，因为是节目录音，
请您不要拨打电话。
好的，欢迎回到《时事大家谈》节目。9月9号，北京最大的基督教家庭教会北京西安教会被当局取缔，原因是这个教会没有经过登记，扰乱了社会组织管理秩序。西安教会则在声明中说，教会几年以来一直争取向民政局登记，但是都没有获得允许。报道显示，政府在全国各地加紧取缔教会、焚烧圣经、拆毁十字架和强迫信徒退教等新一波干涉宗教自由行为已经持续了好几个月。有分析称，中共领导人近年越来越清楚地表明，各种宗教的信条必须服从从属于中共的信条，信教的公民必须首先崇拜共产党，然后才能崇拜他们的神。那么中共为什么在宗教问题上越来越紧张？政府为何难于容忍民众的信仰自由？基督教究竟是扰乱社会秩序，还是利于社会稳定？我们今天请观察人士来进行分析。首先是美国是北京的这个西安教会金明日主任牧师。金牧师你好。
你好。
嗯，好的，金牧师呢是从中国的北京通过电话参加节目。那么另外一位呢是在美国波士顿的旅美宗教学者蓝阳先生。蓝先生你好。
你好，美国之音的各位听众你们好。
好的，蓝先生呢是通过 Skype 参加节目，我们欢迎两位。同时呢，我们也欢迎各位听众、观众和网友拨打美国之音免费热线电话参加节目的讨论。我们的最新号码呢是1708976-0007。1708976-0007，也请您通过 VOA 卫视在 YouTube 的网上直播来收看，并且加入我们的现场讨论。网址呢是 youtube.com/VOA Chinese。那么首先呢，我想请在北京的这个金牧师跟我们讲一讲，在9月9号这一天呢，这个西安教会是怎么样被查封的。那么还有呢，我们其实也看到消息，好像在几个月之前呢，这个贵教会呢就已经在开始举办这个告别的这个聚会啊，似乎呢是早有这个风声显示，这个西安教会呢会有这个9月9号发生的这一幕呢。金牧师，
2007年80个人开始的教会，现在呢发展成聚会人数将近1600人，我们教会呢从今年3月中开始，政府呢无理的要求在我们的礼拜堂要装24个摄像头。我们个人认为，我们教会认为是因为种种的原因，这是侵犯公民的个人的隐私权，还有宗教群众的感情等理由，我们拒绝。然后从4月份开始，他们强力的打压我们的会众，他们动员10000人次以上，就是动用社会的、警察的、政府的力量，要寻访我们的会众，给他们施加压力，说西安教会是邪教、政治不正确，还有非法组织等名，让他们离开西安教会去三日的教堂。然后9月9号，我们所有的礼拜结束以后，4点半，只有少数的人在的时候，突然70多人涌进教堂，然后把我叫到会议室，然后宣布西安教会是非法聚会，宣布取缔，然后在我的办公室里边，他们说服我，这件事呢好好的过，就是配合一下，等等，也他们查封了我的个人的财产，然后以那个来也要挟我，我也不太知道当时外面的情况怎么样。我去大概1个半小时跟他们谈论以后，他们强烈的要求让我尽快离开。我下来以后发现下面有70多辆警车、消防车，还有各样的公交。我们的会众也听到消息以后，录起来将近150人。我也劝会众呢，离开，今天都很累，离开。但是回去的路上，突然听到我们三位会众被警察扣留。所以我也回来，他一直跟政府交涉，所以这三个人也都被释放。 大概是这个情况。
嗯哼，那么这个金牧师，我想问你，就是政府呢是说西安教会没有经过注册，因此呢是扰乱的这个社会管理的秩序啊。那么您的这个回应是怎么样的？
应该是这样。
嗯哼，
中国这个宗教管理呢是使用的是前苏联的模式，他们是主要是建立一个爱国爱党的一个行业工会，比如说对基督教来说是爱国组织，三大爱国组织，然后在爱国组织是登记的，它有法人地位。平常的时候教堂，所谓的我们传统意义上的教会者，即使是三自教会也没有法人资格，他们是到行业工会里边注册，他不是在中国社会里边有像国外似的他有法人资格，他也没有自己的公章。这个叫宗教事务条例呢，2004年出了一版，最近呢有修订版，但是这个修订版呢比过去啊更严谨。一句话就是必须在三自教会的允许审批下才有机会申请宗教的登记。我们西安教会是2007年开始，有20个人开始逐渐扩大的。我们不少没登记，但是登记无门，条件也非常的苛刻，尤其是我们会中大部分是从三自里边出来的人，他们不肯在三自的管理之下要
回。
所以中国宗教的最大的问题是，宗教群体有没有可能在政府给他们开路，让他们在合法的这种法律的这个框架里边解决他们的社会身份问题。这个从来没有，中国社会呢虽然有宪法36条，信仰公民有信仰自由、集会自由的这个基本权利，但是从来没有，中国70年来没有出台过宗教自由法，所以公民的这个权利从法律的层次是不能得到这个保障，所有的都是通过一些行业工会啊，还有宗教局等行政部门来直接的管理，这个跟海外很不一样，因为跟西方人士们这个交流的时候，最大的问题，他们总认为为什么你们不登记，你们为什么不想成为一个合法的宗教呢？就是他们对那个 legal 和 illegal 的理解和中国社会里面的真实的情况是距离很大的。中国是政治国家，不是法律国家，他们主要的要求的是政治上靠近党和政府，效忠，这个是最低的。实际上他们给政策的呢有没有合法的登记都是不管重要不太重要。即使就是一些教会想要合法的登记，他们是根本不有机会的。这就是中国的这个宗教情况，特别的宗教情况
好
的原因。
好，谢谢金牧师。我们接下来还继续再谈论这个问题。那么接下来我想请问，在美国波士顿的蓝阳先生啊，就是说事实上刚才金牧师也谈到，就是中华人民共和国的这个宪法里头是规定了公民呢是有宗教信仰的自由，好像是第36条。那么与此同时，中国国务院的这个宗教信仰的白皮书呢也说到同样的这个话。那我想请问您，就是说呢这些东西里面都说了就公民有宗教自由，那么您怎么来看这个事实上的这个就是中国对于宗教自由他的这个做法和他书本上的说法之间为什么会有这么大的这个差别？
我希望美国的教会以及美国的这些对人权人士能够了解一点，在中国实行的并不是法律，它是按照党的政策来治理这个国家的。法律是宪法这些规定的自由，只不过是为了给外国人看的，是一个门面。而对宗教实际上的党的政策会怎么样去执行， 他早在50年代，就是朝鲜战争的时候，他们就已经定了调子，就是很简单，就是基督教在未来的时间里面是要逐渐的加以，一个是就是控制、削弱，直到最后消灭。这样的政策，他们几十年来，哪怕是在最改革开放的80年代，也没有改变过，只不过是时松时紧而已。
嗯，
这才是真正的宗教的管理。
嗯，
他们并不是按照宪法来进行管理。
嗯，那么莱安先生，我还想问您，就是说以您在美国对美国的这个宗教组织它这个合法性来了解的话呢，就是美国宗教组织它是以什么样的这个渠道获得这个中共所说的这个合法性呢？
你说中国的
我说美国的这个宗教组织，美国的宗教组织在美国有没有一个说法，这个宗教组织是合法的还是不合法的，有没有这个说法？
美国的话，我想它作为一个 non-profit， 就是这个非盈利性机构的话，它只要对政府进行这个一个登记，还要每年进行一些这个收入税务方面提供这些情况，对你就是合法，可以合法存在的。但是在中国呢，你还必须加入一个共产党直接控制的机构，就是叫做基督教三自爱国会。
嗯，
你必须加入这个三自爱国会，或者说这些年他宗教登记法有新的规定，就是说你要向宗教管理部门加以登记。这种登记和我们和美国人所理解的登记是不一样的。
嗯，
他行政部门可以随时任意的提出各种各样的条件来限制你的登记，甚至于在你登记以后，他仍然会来干扰你的宗教组织的内部活动，这是随时会发生的。
嗯，那么等于说呢，就是说在中国的这个所谓讲的宗教的这个合法宗教，其实应该不是说它合法，而是说它合政治，也许我们更应该这么来说，才能更加的明确表达它的这个意思。好，那么接下来呢，我们来分享一下听众观众朋友以及网友的发表的一些评论。第一个呢是这个船长，他说呢，要解决多元文化间的冲突，根本之道呢是确保宗教自由，这是互相尊重与达到平等的基础，只有这样的才能谈到人权，因为信仰呢是人存在的最终目的。接下来是三叠记，他说呢，中共把任何不可控制的教团都要控制住，不能变成不可控的势力，就像信党的这个佛教和基督教。还有呢是山炮，他说呢，共产党本身就是一种信仰，既然它本身是信仰，那么就具有排他性。接下来一位是 ATT by， 他说呢，教会在2000年来在每个地方都受迫害，那个时候呢没有教堂，我们在家里，不让在家中，我们去了偏远地区，甚至是夜间在这个坟墓聚会。接下来一位是这个肖文华，他说无论这个无神论者清算有神论者，这场戏呢，这个共产党掌权者要让草民知道，党大于一切，党管一切，不管天上人间都要俯首听任于党中央。接下来一位是 Thailand7， 他说基督教宣传自由民主能够开启民智，微信里有很多基督教公众号，现在中共就怕这些东西。接下来一位是自由人，他说人心聚集了主权，一个人权至上讲民主自由公平正义的地方，必将获得人心最终的凝聚，最终的民主主权。接下来一位是李忠本，他说呢，中共打压宗教是为树一尊的系列活动之一，在重学共产党宣言的同时，反妄议这个舆论禁见，抓意见人士等等。接下来一位是变异的90后，他说实话实说，在农村地区的确有打着基督教的幌子来发财的，所以很多地方都对基督教呢是有误解的。好，接下来我继续请问这个金牧师啊，那么事实上刚才你也谈到呢，就是贵教会呢是成长的非常的快，从几十个人成长到现在大概有1500人，而且呢据报道呢是说这个贵教会在过去这些年呢其实一直是能够得以能够平安的这个聚会祷告啊，但是为什么现在这个情况急转直下呢？您觉得是怎么样一回事？
我觉得要回答两点，第一点是刚才 您跟赖先生提出来的问题。我在美国也生活过一段时间，美国是认为是信仰是天赋的，从天而来的，是人民的基本权利，可以传福音，也可以在家里也聚会，你也甚至可以组织教会，也可以不登记。但是登记的话，它作为就是 non-profit 这样的组织，它享受一些很多的益处，所以他们是自愿去登记的。但是在中国是不一样，中国呢把宗教信仰呢限制在一个组织内或者是一个空间内，只有在那里才能举行宗教活动，那个之外，在那个合法的所谓的商建立的组织还有他们审批的场所之外，你哪怕是基督徒带孩子在公共领域里面吃饭的时候祷告，或者是教会弟兄姊妹在公园玩耍，这个都从他们的政策来说是就是绝对不允许的，这就是中国社会独特的全能政治所有关系，所以很不一样。第二个，为什么西方教会过去十一年发展很好，但是到了今年就是突然发生这么大的事情？我个人认为是有大和有密切的关系。中国呢最近十九大的时候，一个很明显的就是意识形态被强化，党要在所有的领域里边要加强管控，这个呢导致宗教界。十九大的时候发生，十九大以后呢，我们开了两会，两会也发生一个很大的改变，特别是宗教事务。原来，宗教事务是九二年以后呢纳入的国务院管理，就是像国外的现代，这种政府一样，是政府的对人民的一种服务和管理的这种框架里边，他确定宗教事务。但是十九大的今年两会的时候，再一次把宗教事务纳入到九二年以前统战后直接管理，也就是党来管理。结果呢，发生一个特别重要的事情，现有的执政群体呢，他们认为宗教问题是跟党和有关系的事务，所以基本把宗教群体当作意识形态里边的竞争。或者是敌对的这样的势力，所以现在最重要的比合法不合法更看重的是你如何的看这个党，是不是顺服党，这是最关键。然后第二个，这种改变呢，出来的实际的效果呢，以前是宗教局是作为一个政府几十个部门的一个部门，它对管理宗教事务的时候是它的功能是很有限的。这次打压的时候，明显的一个现象是，它动用所有的政府部门，不仅仅动用政府部门，就是它动用那个各个社会的群体，包括一些国营单位啊，就是铺天盖地的。施加压力，这就是很明显，党来领导这个宗教事务的时候，他们对宗教群体的那种不仅管控，就是打压的时候的力度也是空前的。我认为这个成为现在习的时代里边的一个特征，是所有的宗教界，不仅仅基督教，包括佛教，包括天主教，包括伊斯兰。都有面对的新时代的一个特征，所以在这里边的一些教会呢唱神歌，然后在十字架下面挂领袖的像，等等，这种各种各样的奇怪的事都出来时，他们也三自教会也现在应付新的一个这种时期，所以这是特别值得警惕的一件事情。
那么接一些听众观众朋友的这个电话啊，那么首先来接湖南的一位观众朋友的电话，这个湖南的李先生您好。
这个李每个人都爱自己的祖国，这是毫无毋庸置疑的，但是在中共这个邪恶的政权呢，我巴不得他早一点灭亡。怎么习近平思想，你这个杂种像什么东西了？
好，谢谢湖南的李先生。我们今天呢是谈这个宗教问题啊，请谈的以后要谈具体一些。接下来一位呢，我们来请安徽的李先生。安徽李先生， 您在线上。好，接下来一位是广东的刘先生，你好。
你好。
嗯哼，请讲。
能听见吗？
能听见，请说。
我觉得宗教跟政治应该分开来说。
嗯哼，
一个宗教是不能反政府，
嗯哼，
宗教也不能参与政治活动。
嗯哼，
就像原来的白莲教啊，
嗯，
都是打着宗教的旗号来反政府，这样是不行的。其他没什么好说的。
好的，谢谢广东的刘先生。那么接下来我请金牧师来做一个回应啊。刚才尤其广东刘先生谈到这个宗教和政治之间的关系呢，我正好也是想问您这个问题，就是说宗教和政治之间究竟是矛盾的呢，还是他们之间可以不矛盾？那么就是中共的这个一些领导人对宗教的这个理解方面呢，您觉得就是说其中是不是还有一些有待这个沟通的地方呢？金牧师。
传统的或者是大部分的社会啊，实际上是一个多元社会或者是多层次的社会。宗教界它有政治一些影响力，但是宗教界主要关注的是它的宗教信仰和宗教信仰的实践。基督教会相信耶稣是弥赛亚，也耶稣的国度降临，所以在这个社会里边，每个宗教呢都有他自己的独特的教义，还有信仰实践，还有社会影响力。那么传统的一些社会里边，政府呢作为全社会的一个推选出来的一个政府，它是协调这个宗教之间的一些事务，整个的社会怎么样在一个大众都能接纳的公共的秩序和公共的利益这种情况中，能够把社会带到繁荣，这是一般的政府的功能。但是在中国比较独特的是，中国是一个政党，就像每个月有共产党，还有民主党，共产党、民主党也都有自己的信念，还有政策的特征。但是中国的党是他们认为自己是把握真理的一个掌权的科学的世界观。所以这样以后呢，他们对自己的理解是过于膨胀，结果他们在看待其他的宗教群体的时候，一般认为有的时候是当作竞争对手，但是更多的时候是应该有控制，然后值得特别可疑的或者是要消灭的这样的对象。中国从1949年到大概1979年是一个消灭政策，然后1979年中国改革开放以后跟全世界衔接的时候，邓小平主要的是一个宽容政策，就是只要不影响大局，在中国社会里面宗教会长期出现，所以宗教的事业性啊民主性、群众性还有国际性等等，我们开始就是宗教普遍。结果宗教实际上在过去40年有相当的存在的一个空间。所以过去40年无论是佛教、伊斯兰教还是基督教、天主教都有发展。基督教以前在解放前才70万，后来文革的时候几乎看不见任何的宗教群体，但是这40年将近有7000万以上的成长，这是一个特别令人惊喜的成长。从中我们可以知道，人们的心中有真诚的对宗教的需求，他们宗教也在中国社会里边是它的广泛被接纳的，但是最近呢，就是政策上，我个人认为是一个非常危险的一个转向，那就是从意识形态化，就是执政群体呢，就是把宗教群体当作是一个不可靠或者是威胁党，甚至是要抵制、要消灭的这个群体，这样的话只能会带来政府和宗教界的更大的那个冲突，社会更多的这种不安还有各种苦难会
产生，这就是中国现在正在发生的。
嗯哼，今天的时事大家谈的讨论呢，到这里必须结束了。我们非常感谢金明日牧师和蓝阳先生参加节目讨论和分享见解。我们没有办法分享所有的听众的观众的评论。时事大家谈呢是自由论坛，嘉宾和听众观众发表的都是个人观点，不代表美国之音。明天的时事大家谈节目呢，我们将关注中国的智库究竟是传声筒还是批判家。我是宇宙，我们下次节目再见。